This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. That's a little tune called Hot Dog Stomp. And before we talk about hot dogs this afternoon, we've got to do a little stomping around in the studio to get listeners to call in with a pledge of support or join us online. Mark Leonard is here with me in the studio to spur you to do your part, spur you on. Mark is our general manager. He oversees AM, FM, TV, and Internet. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Celeste.
We're stomping around in here, aren't we?
We're relishing the opportunity to talk to our listeners. I've been working on that for about five minutes.
But, can we cut the mustard?
Oh, it's going to be a long show, isn't it? We are asking our listeners, our loyal listeners and our occasional listeners and all of the people who enjoy AM 580 to rally and to come forward and to make an investment in your station and keep your station strong. That's what membership drives are all about. And the number to call is 244-9455. And sometimes people say, could my membership contribution actually make a difference? You must need, you know, you must have a minimum price of entry, that it's $500 donations that are really paying your bills. And the truth is, it's about 13,000 individuals who give varying amounts, ranging from $10 to $1,000 that we hear from in every single membership drive. And every single one of those calls is important. Now, we do have some thank you gifts and some benefits at different levels that you will qualify for, depending upon which level you choose. But those are really just additional thank yous. Those are additional reasons. The main thing is that you are paying your fair share of a program service that is important to you. And we can't explain it any more simply than that. We can't make the call for you. It's really up to you to make that decision. We lay out the arguments and the information, and then we sit back and we wait and see if the phones ring. And we kind of hold our breath from drive to drive because we never know. We provide the very best programming that's possible, and then a membership drive is that referendum to let us know if we're doing a good job in meeting your needs.
Yeah. And listeners do so much. They're the largest single support for the station, source of support for the station. So it's a lot of people coming together, doing what they can to make a difference. So think about the difference you can make with a gift of $1 a week. $52 be a wonderful gift to make this afternoon in support of AM 580. Consider the value you receive from AM 580, in particular today, the Afternoon Magazine here on the radio, and make a pledge of support on the telephone at 244-WILL or online at willpledge.org.
Hi, this is Jack Spear with NPR News. Ever wonder where your pledge dollars go? Well, one thing they do is help us bring you the important news stories of the day, no matter where they occur, from a bombing in Mumbai to a financial meltdown that could imperil your retirement savings. NPR News reporters are on top of the major news events you need to know about. So remember, it's your generous support that keeps our reporters in the field, technicians in the studios, and newscasts on the air.
Please call 217-244-9455 or give online at willpledge.org. Thank you.
And make that pledge of support this afternoon in support of the information, the news and information that you hear here on AM 580, and the entertainment as well. This afternoon, we're going to talk about the hot dog. Our guest, Bruce Craig. Let's get underway right now.
Hot dog, you say you're really coming back. Hot dog, I'm waiting at the railroad track. Hot dog, you say you're coming home for good. Hot dog, I'm gonna keep on knocking wood, baby. I can hardly wait. I'm gonna meet you at the gate. Hot dog.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. A steaming sausage nestled in a soft roll, topped with mustard, onion, green relish, tomato, pickle, dill pickle spear, sport peppers, and a dash of celery salt. No ketchup.
This, never ketchup.
This is a Chicago-style hot dog. But that's not the only way we enjoy hot dogs. Many types of hot dog sausages, in fact, are enjoyed around the world. This afternoon, we're taking a look at the hot dog. Our guest is historian Bruce Craig, a Chicagoan. He's the author of Hot Dog, A Global History. In addition to telling the story of the dog, his book looks at how hot dogs are made and sold. It includes recipes for hot dog lovers, including pigs in a kimono. It turns out hot dogs are hot in the East. Bruce Craig is Professor Emeritus in History and the Humanities at Roosevelt University, Chicago, and the founding president of Culinary Historians of Chicago. Listeners, I invite you to join us this afternoon with questions and comments. You can join us with a telephone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area to join our discussion is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free line, that number, 800-222-9455. Bruce Craig's book, Hot Dog, A Global History, is one in a series of books, the Edible series from Reaction Books Limited. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455, if you'd like to join us this afternoon with a question or a comment. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So what's your favorite way to enjoy a hot dog?
Well, Chicago, what else?
Yeah.
Because it's the ultimate. It has everything on it.
Right.
It's your basic foodstuffs that you need to survive upon.
It's got everything, doesn't it? It seems to. It's got vegetables and spicy stuff, onions, mustard, green relish. And it's got that bit of heat with the sport peppers.
It does. It does.
How many regional variations are there, do you suppose?
Well, there are many. There are large regional variations, and then there are lesser ones, like anything else. And the main ones would be New York East Coast mm-hmm. style. If you've eaten a Nathan's, for example, the most famous example, those that run up and down from Florida to Boston. There's the Coney's dog, which is Detroit, upper New York State. It goes over to Canada and into Ohio. There are southern variations, the most notorious of which is called the scramble dog, which has oyster crackers crumbled on top of them. They're just awful, awful. and there are this Kansas City, which is like a Reuben sandwich. Chicago,
sauerkraut?
Of course.
Yeah.
It's with sauerkraut and melted cheese on it. And there is a fairly recent Sonoran hot dog, which arises in Arizona. And that is got salsa, bacon bits. Once upon a time, it was whole bacon, but people got sick from it, so they had to do bacon bits. And a cheese. It's just loaded up with stuff like you would find on a taco. And then there are other varieties in California and such.
Yeah, and people put all kinds of things on them. You mentioned the oyster crackers.
Right.
There's a photo in your book of a hot dog loaded up with French fries.
Well, that's a common way to do it. If you go to Chicago, one of the ways that they're served is to put it in a wax paper, put your hot dog in there, and then just load it up in French fries and close up the paper so all the flavors seep together. Yes.
No.
Well, that's what they do, yes. And
it's such a personal thing, isn't it?
It is. That's not the way I like it. I think you should have – they should be separated, but so there are lots of different ways to do it, sure.
Yeah, and we can't forget the chili dog.
Well, the chili dogs are really interesting history. They're called Coney's, and they date from around 1913 or to just after World War I, when Greek and Macedonian immigrants, that's from the Balkans, Slavic-speaking Macedonians, emigrated to the Midwest via New York, via Coney Island, bringing a meat sauce with them. And they settled in two main areas where the Coneys are
okay.
powerful. One is the Detroit area, Flint in particular, Flint, Jackson, Detroit, Michigan, and where people were working, building cars, unlike today.
Yeah.
We hope again today.
Yeah.
We hope. And they put this meat sauce on it, and the meat sauce is they call chili. And it's called Coney because Coney had this cultural importance to people as a festive food from Coney Island. The other branch is in Cincinnati, and those Macedonians, people from the Balkans, developed chilies down there after World War I, and the most Skyline, for example, the most famous. And that's chili loaded up with cinnamon and other kinds of spices that you would find and an outlier of the Ottoman Empire. There's a whole cultural history here. It's really interesting. And they put those on hot dogs, but chili is served in and of itself with lots of other things.
Yeah. So if we wanted to get to know a place, if we're out on the road, we might say, where do you like to get your hot dog in town?
Exactly. It's regional and very local as well. Even within Chicago, there are different styles. Right? It's not just the one thing. People do it differently.
Yeah. The French fries, for example.
Well, French fries. And another one is there used to be a place called Demon Dogs right near DePaul University, which is now closed, unfortunately. Wonderful place. And the owner there thought we should have hot dogs like they originally were back in the 1920s or teens of the century.
Uh-huh.
So these were very plain, on plain buns. You could have other things on them, of course. You could load them up, whatever you wanted. But his idea was to make them as original as possible because obviously the standard Chicago hot dog developed over time. It's not the way they were served, say, in 1900. So that was his individual take on it, right? And
yeah.
So that's what he did.
Well, now I want to play something for you. It is a tune from the 1920s, I believe. And the singer was a huge star in the Yiddish theater going way back when. And she died maybe in the 1990s. And she had a wonderful, long career. And I think this song is so much fun. It's a piece of vaudeville history, and maybe we can talk a little bit more about culture.
Sure.
And then also about how the hot dog entered the world of entertainment.
Coney Island hot field star, me weiß da Hause Kinder, me viel Tag ist am Fenster in der Nähe, das sieht uns Geld, auf drei Fies geht a Ferdo, a Wabel mit a Werdo, a schwere Frau, wo schwer sie ist, a schwer Sonn der Welt, ihr nehmt a Taktik, den Dollar, ihr Cent, a Herse. They bring in hot dogs, they taste the hint. Try say, free sister, I say, come with your fry say, sit there, you sing. We're selling R-E-D-A-S-O-T, red hop, R-E-D-A-S-O-T, red hot dog, hot dog, me cramp for hot dogs, they camp for hot dogs, hot dogs, red hot dogs.
Isn't that wonderful?
Wonderful. Molly Picon was just great.
Yeah. She had a long life, an American actress of stage, screen, and television, as well as a lyricist. Mm-hmm. In more recent times, she was in the film version of Come Blow Your Horn, and she was in the film adaptation of the Broadway hit Fiddler on the Roof in 1971.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, here we have a wonderful piece of music history, vaudeville. And also, you know, she's a Yiddish star, and Jews have contributed so much to American culture. And you note they were the main force behind the all-beef hot dog.
Correct.
So.
Right. The hot dog we think in Chicago or New York, for example, and other cities as well, we think of as an adult hot dog, not the kind you get in the supermarket necessarily, you know, of sort of flabby, porky things that you get in the kind you get in the stand are all beef. And the reason is because of Jewish immigration beginning in the 1890s and running through the 1920s. And the vendors, many who came from Eastern Europe, bringing sausage culture with them and finding a sausage culture here brought by Germans, German Jews included, those two melded together and they were street vendors. And since you're not going to eat meat that's treif, right, not kosher, even if they weren't religious, they wouldn't. So they had all beef sausages. And they're so successful in a number of areas of American life. But food is one of the important things in Jewish culture. And so their sausages become popular and mm-hmm. they're street vendors and they're sold. And as the small entrepreneurs expanded their hot dog stands and hot dog carts and then into the retail business, they brought their sausage with them. And so we come to think of it as the adult hot dog.
Yeah.
Furthermore, if you say kosher, Americans think that means pure. It means good. It doesn't mean anything of the kind, of course. It just means a way of preparing it and
right.
slaughtering animals. But Americans think this, and so naturally, being entrepreneurs, sausage makers are going to play on that. So it becomes the better hot dog.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about that, if I may go on,
sure.
is that hot dogs have a bad reputation.
Yeah.
With there's a matter of purity and danger in hot dogs. And this goes way back into history. Certainly, it's certainly medieval. Jokes about what goes into your hot dog. And if you have a sausage then that is, you know, is pure, then you're likely to eat it. And so kosher, Jewish goes together. The standard New York hot dog, the way of serving it, is the kind made famous by Nathan's on Coney Island. And Nathan Handwerker was, of course, an immigrant mm-hmm. from Eastern Europe, Jewish immigrant, who set up this stand in 1916. There were many other vendors there, too. New York was heavily Jewish by now. And so his style, Nathan's, right, has this this aura about it, and it becomes national also. So, yeah, Jews have a huge influence to play on American foodways.
Yeah. 1916, was it called a hot dog at that point?
It was. The name hot dog appears in the mid-1890s. And it's a joke, of course. It's nothing. It's not. And the joke is, what goes into the hot dog?
Right.
And there are lots of jokes going back in the
yes.
book. I replicate a song,
yes.
which everybody knows.
Yeah, but I didn't really realize what the song was all about, really.
Right. It was written in 1860, and it's called "Oh, Where Is My Little Dog Gone?" And everybody knows it. The tune is a German folk song called "In Lauterbach." Ach, mein Strumpf verloren, which means I lost my socks in Lauterbach. But it was rewritten and by a very famous songwriter. It starts off, "Well, where is my little dog gone?" And you think it's just my little dog. No,
yeah,
the second
no.
verse is, the dog has gone into the sausage. And it's really grim. But there are a lot of jokes in American 1860. It was jokes had been said for a couple generations. And so it's a joke about what goes into the hot dog itself. And it arises in college humor magazines. Actually, the earliest anybody's found,
yeah.
researchers have found, is 1893 in Knoxville, Tennessee, in a newspaper.
Really?
Yeah, the name hot dog applied to a sausage. The word hot dog itself means the other meaning in American culture now is somebody who's a show-off. And that's what it meant in the 1890s as well.
Really?
Yeah. So the
yeah.
two come together as again, a jokey word. And it's instantly picked up all around the country.
Yeah. Well, a little bit earlier, we heard Elvis Presley, hot dog.
Yeah.
Hot dog. I'm going to go meet that girl. Hot dog.
Well, he probably ate them with mayonnaise and peanut butter on them.
Ew. But nevertheless, I mean, hot dog also means, you know, like, Yahoo!
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It has lots of different meanings. It's just a funny word, hot dog.
Yeah.
And Americans don't like to think about the dog part of it because Americans don't like to eat their pets.
Yeah,
I don't know why, but they
but
don't.
We still we do still say, you know, there are two things you don't want to see made. You know, legislation and sausage.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Right. Sure. Or I mean, there are many myths about this. Never feed a hot dog to a child, hot dogs, because they'll choke on the hot dog bits. Now, you don't say that about corn. You don't say it about popcorn, right,
no.
or anything else
no.
but hot dogs, because there's always the danger about hot dogs, right?
Yeah.
And eating in hot dog stands, which are kind of grungy, a little dangerous.
Yeah.
And there's a frisson about it.
Yeah, well, also, you know, you go to the ballpark and, you know, you throw them around.
Right.
And, yeah.
Right, you
and
don't
maybe
even
you haven't washed your hands for a while, right?
Exactly. Pass down an aisle, hand
yeah.
to hand. Sure. Right.
Okay. Historian Bruce Craig is our guest this afternoon here on the Afternoon Magazine, and we're having some fun with hot dogs this afternoon, and we're also in the midst of trying to raise some money to support the programming you hear here on AM 580, including the Afternoon Magazine. And we're going to get back to our discussion about hot dogs in just a moment, but We're going to bring Mark Leonard, our general manager, into the conversation. And Bruce, you can join in too. Feel free to join in
Well, I'm a big NPR fan.
Good.
And when I travel around the country, I always know that there's an NPR station at the lower end of the band. And so you should support NPR. If you travel wherever you go, supporting this station is supporting all the stations.
Hot dog.
Hot dog.
Mark Leonard is here with us in the studio. He's our general manager. Tell us more about why support is so important from listeners.
Well, I just can't get hot dogs out of my mind now. If I was eating a white hot, where would I be from?
Rochester or Buffalo.
You got it.
We're white hot.
And I miss them immensely. Rochester, their public radio station there is WXXI, and I used to work for them, and I used to savor the white hots, which you really have to get by mail now. They're not very widely distributed.
Right.
What was in a white hot?
I think it's pork, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a Weisswurst. It's a type of German sausage. But they also have red hots in Rochester, as you know. There's some very famous ones.
Zweigels.
Yeah, Zweigels, exactly right. Yeah.
I miss my Zweigels. Okay. Well, we're wasting our time here, but it's so wonderful because the topics on public radio are so interesting, no matter what they are. And you're not going to find it anywhere else. Yes, we're usually at the bottom end of the dial, but you can almost tell without even seeing the pointer on your radio or the call signal because public radio stations sound different. They're intelligent. They make you lean forward. They make you not get out of your car when you've reached your destination. They make you late leaving in the morning because the story isn't over yet. They make you stand silently in your kitchen as you're making dinner, forgetting what you're doing. All those kinds of things because the content is so intriguing. It is engrossing, whether it's music or information. We're asking you as a listener to take that additional step and to help us out during our spring membership campaign by becoming the newest supporter of WILL. And it is easy to do. It takes one phone call at 244-9455 to do that. Or if you'd like to do it instead online, just go to the WILL Pledge website, which is willpledge.org. In both cases, it's a painless 60 seconds of your time, and you can sit back and listen to all the programs knowing that you are the underwriter, the sponsor, the person helping to make all of these shows possible.
Okay. And thanks to all the listeners who have joined us so far this week in our spring membership drive. Please be the next to join us. Become a member of the Friends of WILL. That number 244-9455 online, willpledge.org. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can make a great difference with a gift of a dollar a week, $52. We'll talk with Mark a little later this afternoon, and we're going to continue now with our discussion about hot dogs. And I thought to get us into this next section of the interview, we might play a little bit more of a little more music where we have some hot dog involved.
What you do to me? It's so new to me. What you do to me? Hot diggity dog, diggity boom. What you do to me when you're holding me tight?
Our guest this afternoon is historian Bruce Craig. He's a Chicagoan. He's the author of Hot Dog, A Global History. He's professor emeritus in history and the humanities at Roosevelt University, Chicago, and founding president of the Culinary Historians of Chicago. Listeners, if you'd like to join us this afternoon with a question or comment, give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Those are the numbers to call if you'd like to join the discussion this afternoon. Well, there we had a little tune from the 60s, I would guess. Harry Como.
Late 50s.
Yeah. And again, a sense of the vaudeville, a sense of the fun of it.
But it's also ethnic, since Perry Como was Italian from near Pittsburgh. He represents the Italian influence on a Chicago hot dog or on kinds of hot dogs sold in New Jersey now called Italian hot dogs. And this is the jardiniere. A relish or piccalilli is actually a kind of jardiniere that sold on Italian beef and other things. And the fresh vegetables on it came from Italian and Greek vegetable vendors who in Chicago, who were in the same area around Maxwell Street and Roosevelt Road, where Jews lived, were selling hot dogs and kosher foods. Those came together in the late 1920s, to form the Chicago hot dog dragged through a garden. So the hot dog is highly ethnic as well.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, there are so many differences in the flavor, in the flavors of hot dogs, one type to another, one brand to another. What kind of spices, what kind of range of spices do manufacturers use?
Well, this is regional as well. The New York hot dog, for example, is you can get the kind you buy Hebrew National, for example, which you can buy in grocery stores now that it became a national
company.
Yeah,
you can buy them here. Is
heavily garliced. The Chicago has a hot dog which is invented by Vienna Beef in the later 1920s. Has more subtle flavorings in it, like paprika, and coriander and other spices, which you can actually taste if you taste them side by side. Of course, you can only do that so long before you get your mouth goes filled with grease and you can't eat them anymore. But there's a distinctive difference in the sausage itself. And those are just two examples, the two main examples.
Yeah.
There's pepper in all of them, a little sometimes marjoram. Other kinds of seasonings, but mostly paprika, which make them different. If you look at a sausage manual, say among a German or Swiss, I quote a Swiss one there, which is my favorite, actually. And if you look at the range of sausages that they make and what goes in them, you'll say, well, my goodness, these all look alike. I mean, the spicings aren't that different. It's the proportion of spicings. It's the kinds of meat that go in them. It's the kind of fat, because fat bears the flavor and is a flavor itself also, we now know. That makes the difference. So a Wurstmacher or a Wurstmeister knows, after 4 years of training, knows the difference and the subtleties that go into each kind of sausage. So you would have to know a lot about sausages, really, to see the differences, say, between one made maybe on the West Coast and one on the East Coast. But they're distinct. They're different flavorings. A sausage company will never tell you what's in them because these are proprietary secrets. And sausage companies sue each other all the time if they think that the formula is too close one to the other. Really. And it could be only one ingredient. I know of one case where it was just the amount of coriander in it. And that... Really. And so these are it's the cutthroat business, as it were, in many cases. It's really interesting.
Yeah. Now, I mentioned in my introduction at the top of the hour that hot dogs have been they came to the U.S. in a sense, and now they've left the United States for other parts of the world.
Right.
Like Japan.
Right.
How hot are hot dogs in the East?
They are. They're growing. Well, the Japanese have never really taken big time to hot dogs. The influence of hot dogs on Japan is like baseball. Because, you know, baseball and hot dogs are intimately tied together. And baseball was brought to Japan in the late 19th century and then developed, especially in the 1930s, when American major league teams began to tour Japan, and then with the creation of Japanese big leagues after World War II, when it became really big. So hot dogs accompany that. And Japanese like things American, just as we like things Japanese. Mm-hmm. We don't know it, but we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, we drive their cars,
right?
For example.
And we pack our kids off in Hello Kitty outfits, right?
Exactly right, exactly. The Japanese popular culture is spread widely in America. They like American culture, and so the hot dogs became part of it. It's never been a big item. It's larger in other areas. If you walk the streets of Korea, for example, Seoul, you'll find hot dogs sold almost everywhere. But they're sold on sticks, and they're coated in potatoes and then deep fried.
Mm.
So they look knobbly, and they're perfectly awful. But because they'll sit out there all day.
Well, it's what you're used to, I guess.
Right. They're bigger in Malaysia. There's a big company in Malaysia selling quite a number of them.
Uh-huh.
There's some in India, not too many. So they've They have a world – I've seen them actually in Kampala, really in Uganda. And dogs, I was there last year and went and found – so they're all over the place. But bigger where American culture has deeper roots.
Yeah, okay. Well, the hot dog on a stick in Korea with the potato crust, we've got to talk about the corn dog. How did the corn dog come to be?
Well, the corn dog is – hot dogs are American. They may have come from Germany, absolutely, but they're American. And the corn dog is one of those examples of what's something indigenously American. Actually, it's a corn dodger. It's an American – or corn, it's a kind of a fritter.
Mm-hmm.
And the standard story is it was invented in Springfield, Illinois, at a restaurant called Cozy Corner in about 1947. And this has been disputed by Texans who say it was invented in Texas. Because it's actually a corn pone, you know, it's a corn batter.
Yeah.
And deep fried, you would think it's Southern, like a, you know, Southern.
Like a hush puppy like almost.
It's exactly what it is, a hush puppy. Yeah. But I found machines made in 1928 for making corn dogs and by looking through old machinery catalogs. So it's probably dates after World War I. It's Southern in origin, much as I love Cozy Corner Restaurant in Springfield.
Yeah.
And if you go to Springfield, you must stop there.
It's on 66,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
The old
Route
55.
66.
It's 55, but it used to be 66, yeah.
Right.
And it's, yeah, it's sort of there on the southern edge of town.
Anybody who's been to the State Fair in Springfield will see corn dogs all over the place, including Cozy Corner, and then there are some others. All the locals down there say, oh, no, this one is the best. Cozy Corner is okay, but this one's better and this one's better. It's a real cultural thing around the State Fair.
Yeah.
So it's much older. It's southern, right?
Yeah.
And there are a number of corn wrappings, which you can put around a hot dog, that date back into the early days of hot doggery.
For example?
Well,
other than ones we've talked about.
Well, pigs in blankets, for example, right? And anything put in a pastry, which there are many. And those were promoted by national companies who made pastries. So, you know, Pillsbury biscuits and a good number of others.
Yeah. Now, bagels?
Bagel dogs are an abomination, I think. It says so in Deuteronomy. Joking. Joking. Bagel dogs.
Well, it's what an would you ancient expect? Food.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's just a bagel. And they're not – there aren't any real bagels. It's getting harder to find them in
it
New
is.
York, too.
Yeah.
So the kind
– But at the
Murray
airport
Lender
now.
Has,
yeah.
Murray Lender and, you know, his frozen bagel. He has a lot to answer for. for destroying bagels. So a bagel dog is just one of those because it's, you know, it's very Jewish. What else?
Yeah.
But it's not really.
Yeah. Well, also at the State Fair, you mentioned the State Fair. At the State Fair, you have the sausage dragged through the garden.
Right.
So you got Polish sausage and Italian sausage. And
correct.
All those things.
And you can do anything with any kind of sausage. You'll find similar things up in Milwaukee. Brats, you can put anything on.
Brats.
But a hot dog, by definition, is pre-cooked. It's made in the factory, smoked and cooked there. Brats, although they're served like hot dogs, aren't strictly speaking hot dogs. And Italian sausage, usually fresh, right, is not strictly speaking. But who's going to argue?
Yeah. Well, when does chopped meat encased in a skin first show up in history? Because sausage is really old.
Right.
You mentioned Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
With a wink and a...
Well, I like to think that anything cooked in a stomach, an animal stomach, or in a cage, which is what a hot dog is actually, it's encased in a gut. Not now. Most of the hot dogs you eat are made in a plastic casing and then it's stripped off.
Mm-hmm.
But originally it's in a gut. And the best ones, called natural casing, are in a sheep gut.
And haggis.
Haggis, absolutely. Haggis is... An Ur hot dog. It's chopped up meats.
Uh-huh.
And
spices and stuff.
Well, not too many spices. This is Scotland after all. And it's a Scottish delicacy. It's a sheep stomach with liver and lights and oatmeal stuck in it. Not many seasonings. And it's put in a kettle and then cooked off for a long time in this kettle. And they do tend to stink because you have to clean the – I'm sorry. So it's – most people think it's nasty. And the Scots in America, when they make their haggis for Robbie Burns Day,
mm-hmm.
right, which they always have, they always use regular beef or ground meat or something. So it's not this, it's not the same. But that probably is prehistoric. I like to think it's Paleolithic. So the hunting peoples of the last ice age probably chopped up their meat. In fact, we know they did because we have their tools, and they have many cutting tools and chopping. And they cooked it in a skin. Absolutely. The nearest equivalent would be Inuits in people used to be called Eskimo and northern peoples who do cook things in skins and stomachs and preserve birds, for example, wrapped in fat and then put in a skin and left to age for a really long time, months and months. They think that's really great. And I think that this is the origin of our chopped meats.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because it's convenient, right? You can carry it along once you've prepared it.
Absolutely.
You can carry it along. It's also a way to use up everything, right?
Well, that gets back to purity and danger because when hot dogs became mass-produced, they're made by the large meat companies like Armour and Swift in Chicago, and they used leftovers. They used whatever there was available. The description of how it's made is horrible, and you can read it yourself. Just go online and bring up Upton Sinclair's The Jungle and have a look at the sausage section. You'll see right away. So it is everything in it. And it is leftovers, and that's, you know, hence the mythology, as you've said.
Yeah.
You don't want to watch a sausage being made.
Right, right. Well, also, it seems to me that the hot dog has been, or sausage has been a very economical food as well. And it's interesting. Harriet Williamson pulled out for me out of the Wall Street Journal an article. Professionals find new livelihood selling Frankfurters. As gloom spreads, carts sprout all over.
Well, this is New York City, where there are, by estimate, 5,000 carts as it is.
Well, actually, the headline, the excuse me, what word am I looking for here? The story has been filed from Bandera, Texas.
Well, that's interesting, because the influence from Mexico on southwestern cuisine is very great, and Mexico has a glorious street food tradition. You just go to any market and the little fondas there sell phenomenal foods. And so street food is just wherever you go. And so that's filtering up into Texas along with the heavy migration of Mexicans. And it's cheap.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting here. We have a picture in the article of a woman named Sofia Guajardo and her brother Lou.
Mm-hmm.
And they're selling hot dogs out of a cart in Bandera, Texas. And some of the kids who are enjoying the hot dogs are their neighbors who have of a name that it looks to be like it's from Eastern Europe, Jureski.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. Mm. So, once again.
Hot dogs cross all ethnic lines. And I've often said that, not alone in this, that hot dogs are our most democratic food. Because they rise in a period of mass migration when all the organs of popular culture and official culture were bent toward acculturating all the new immigrants, making them Americans. And so national foods, single foods such as hot dogs, are one of the means of doing so. So people from high and low,
uh-huh.
from Wall Street bankers to the dustman, right, cleaning
yeah.
the streets, will eat the same hot dog from vendors, and especially at baseball games. And baseball was an important integrative feature of American culture around 1900, late 1880s, 90s, 1900, and onward. Deliberately promoted as such as the All-American game, et cetera. So anytime you see that All-American. This is you know what's going on here. And so the fact that you have Mexicans selling to people of Polish extraction
yeah,
hot
isn't
dogs.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Righto. And in the ballpark, we're all eating the same thing. You may be sitting in the grandstand, you may be sitting in the bleachers, but you're eating the same hot dog
yeah.
and enjoying it with your community of fellow fans.
We're all in it together, and we're at the park.
Righto.
Which is really interesting to think that this is also an American thing. Get out of doors.
Right. It's mass entertainment, absolutely. But in a group, in the new national American group.
Yeah.
I mean, my grandfather was an immigrant from Russia, and he used to say, "I'm a 200% American."
Mm-hmm.
And this just tells you what that's about. Hot dogs are part of it. Other mass foods are the same, but hot dogs have this special characteristic.
Yeah. Now, are there foods now coming to us from other parts of the world? We've talked a little bit about Texas being in such close proximity to Mexico. Mm-hmm. We've had lots of new foods introduced into our day-to-day lives. I mean, I can walk to a Vietnamese noodle parlor in my neighborhood now here in Urbana. So it's pretty cool. Are there foods that are coming from other parts of the world now that will make the sort of the same kind of journey as the sausage did to hot dog?
Well, pho will never make it because the Vietnamese noodles, because it's too slurpy and you get it all over yourself.
But the sandwiches might.
The sandwiches, yeah.
Vietnamese sandwiches.
Absolutely. I've had a Thai hot dog that is with Thai seasonings on it and which is pretty interesting in a hot dog bun. Yeah. And then I've had satay in a hot dog bun with stuff on it. So that people are experimenting. The closest would be a hamburger, which is our national food, actually. But it doesn't have the same mythology and cultural depth, it seems to me, that a hot dog does. Even though we don't have a national hot dog chain, they've never been successful. Dog and Suds, for example, some of you will remember, mm-hmm. never made it as a chain. They're just Wiener Schnitzel. And I know there's one in Champagne.
I think it's closed. I went there last week and it had a closed sign.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, that's a California chain.
Is it?
Yeah, and quite a big one.
I think they're looking for a buyer.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, it just shows you can't, it's you just
tough.
Can't, you cannot, you can't, get, you can't have chains, the hot dogs. It's so, but it's still, despite the fact that you don't have these chains, it's still embedded in our mythology. It's what makes it. Whether there'll be something else to replace it, it won't be sushi. I don't think so. There's not enough fresh fish in the ocean for that.
Did McDonald's ever consider selling hot dogs?
They do occasionally.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. Several times a year in Chicago they'll do it. And other places, but they're no. They don't.
Yeah, interesting. Well, as listeners might have heard just a moment ago, Mark Leonard is with us in the studio, and he's our general manager. And we've just been having a wonderful time this afternoon talking about hot dogs and how they figure into so many areas of our life, our culture, whether it be the law, whether it be entertainment, whether it be eating on the cheap,
right,
whether it be serving to bring us together as Americans. Integrating us. What a fascinating story.
It set me back in my memory. I went back and checked on the Zweigels, and yeah. They've got an online form, so I got 6 pounds of those coming. And then I remembered that, just like you were saying, the hot dog chain there in Rochester was called Zab's, a guy named
That's
Don
right.
Zabcar.
That's right.
And it was wonderful.
Yeah.
And it lasted about 10 years. He was trying to franchise, and it didn't work.
Many have tried. There are local chains in Rhode Island, for example, New York System. It's a famous one. Nathan's has tried a franchise. They have,
That's right.
But they've never been successful nationally. Some years ago, I was at Nathan's headquarters in Long Island and talked to the grandson of the founder, Nathan. His name is Bill Handwerker. He was a vice president there. It became national. They sold out to a national chain. And he told me that they were going to come to Chicago and open a hot dog stand. So I said to him, the first thing is, you better serve Chicago-style hot dogs the way Chicagoans want it served. He said, don't worry, we're going to do that. Well, the next thing I know, they have a place on Rush Street, which they must have poured $1 million into. It was all chrome and gleaming glass. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in there, and they served it New York style. And they, within 6 months, they were out of business. And the wait staff weren't Chicagoans. They were trained in New York style, what do you want? I mean, Chicago, you can say that too, but you have to be a Chicagoan.
And you don't say it with a scowl, right?
Right. It's sort of smirk. And we talk like the mayor. And so it's really interesting. You, It's never been successfully done as a national franchise.
And it's so iconic, there are even now vegetarian hot dogs.
There are.
And they're sold at local hot dog places.
Well, there are lots. There are vegan kinds, various kinds like Eve. And there's one actually, which I like. Most of them just don't taste like hot dogs. But one is pretty good. And that's made by a company in Portland called Tofurky, who also make an imitation turkey, roast turkey for Thanksgiving. And they sell meat, sliced meats, which are surprisingly good. So you might try, if you find it, that might try that one.
That just really tells you how iconic the hot dog is, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, there we'll wrap it up with talking about the hot dog.